This is Patrick Donahue. We, as always, we appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time for Bible Crossfire. You get to have a say in this. Most preaching programs, and not criticizing them, that's a good way of doing it. Just one speaker teaching you a lesson. This program, we do try to teach the Bible. We allow you to have a say, to ask a question, to make your comment, even to disagree respectfully if we're not teaching, if you don't feel we're teaching the truth. After all, that's what we're seeking, the truth. Only the truth will set us free from sin, John 8:32. You could prove us wrong from the Bible. We will change on what we're teaching. Back on January 3rd, 2016, the Bible Crossfire radio program, Jamie from Pensacola, Florida, called in with an outstanding Bible question. He asked, why are there so many interpretations of the Bible? Now, we're told by many that the answer to this question is because the Bible is so hard to understand, so hard to interpret. But I don't think that's the right answer. What is the reason there are so many different interpretations of the Bible? I don't believe it's because the Bible is that hard to understand, hard to interpret. Let me go through some reasons why we come up with different interpretations of the Bible, why people come up with different interpretations. When Jamie called in and asked why there are so many, I immediately read to him 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35 on the issue of women preachers. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. And then skipping down to verse 35, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. And I asked Jamie, considering that verse, why are there so many congregations that allow women to speak from the pulpit? Is it because this verse is hard to understand? And Jamie answered the obvious. No, the passage is very clear. So we have different understandings of whether or not women should preach from the pulpit. Is it because the Bible's hard to understand? No, this verse is very clear. Let your women keep silence in the churches. It's not permitted unto them to speak. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. That's not hard to understand at all. So the reason we have different interpretations of the Bible in this case is not because the Bible's hard to understand. It's because people are not willing to accept what the Bible says. You know, the Bible is not that hard to understand in most cases. Here's how Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 reads on this issue of whether or not the Bible's hard to understand. It says, Paul speaking says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The Bible's not a code book. You don't have to understand some sort of code to figure out what's going on. You don't need some advanced clergyman to tell you what it's saying. You can read the Bible like you would read a letter written to you from your friend. Just read it and understand it in what it says because it's written in your language. The Bible is not hard to understand. The reason so many churches allow women to preach from the pulpit, even though 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 so clearly condemns that practice, the reason they allow it, I'm convinced, is because of undue influence from the world. They bow down to what we call today political correctness. It's not politically correct to be opposed to women preachers. So the churches bow down and succumb to that pressure from the world to be politically correct, so they allow women to preach from the pulpit, even though the Bible very clearly condemns the practice. It's not that the Bible is hard to understand. No, it's because churches bow down to the pressure of political correctness. If you have a Bible question or comment, now's a good time to call us. Lines are wide open. 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or a comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Another reason I'm convinced that people come up with different interpretations of the Bible, and it's not because the Bible's hard to understand, is because people use the wrong authority. Now, a good example of this that I'm going to give you is from the Watchtower Witnesses, the JWs as we call them. Notice from this quote from their literature how they use the wrong authority. This quote is from the Watchtower magazine, one of these piece booklets they would give you if you were able to, if you agreed to study with them. Let me quote from this booklet, one of their own booklets. They say, quote, "We find that people cannot see the divine plan in studying the Bible by itself. We see also that if anyone lays aside the scripture studies," that's their booklet, "even after he has read them for 10 years, if he then lays them aside and ignores them and goes to the Bible alone, our experience shows that within 2 years he goes into darkness. On the other hand, if he had merely read the scripture studies and had not read a page of the Bible, he would be in the light." So the Watchtower religion believes their false positions, not because the Bible is hard to interpret, but because they position their literature above the Bible and what they're going to follow. In other words, I'll come out with a different interpretation of the Bible than them, but it's not because the Bible's hard to understand, it's because they are going to go, if the Bible contradicts what their material says, their Watchtower magazine says, they're going to go with what the Watchtower magazine says over the Bible. Whereas I'm going to go by the Bible alone. And if it contradicts what the Watchtower literature says, then I'm going to completely reject the Watchtower literature. That's why we come up with different understandings. Not because the Bible's hard to understand. It's because they have the wrong authority. They let their human literature have greater authority than God's Word, the Bible. I hope that's easy to understand. Cheryl from Ohio, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, I'm not educated in the Bible in the sense of being able to have a debate or an argument of it, or for lack of a better expression. I just understood that scripture to mean the difference in the era and the time, and that women were not educated in that time. I mean, even here in the States, not too long ago, men would sit on one side of the church and women would sit on the other. Those times have changed, and the world has evolved as far as everybody being educated equally. So that would be saying that women have no calling or have no ministry. I find that hard to believe.
Cheryl, was there anything in that context, in that passage, that made you think that? That it was because of difference in the era, the difference in the times? I mean, was there anything?
Maybe with the difference in the teachings that I've had in my upbringing with various churches or ministers or... That's how I understood that to be, is all.
Yeah, but I mean, was there something in the Bible that led you to that conclusion? Or is it just something you've been told by preachers?
That it's led something you to... in history. It's something in history.
No, where did you read that in history? Where did you read that in history?
You know, I'm in my driveway, so I can't really look up things for you.
Cheryl, let me show you.
I think it's known. Do you know that women were not educated then?
Men were not educated then either. Now, I want to give you... I'm going to show you another passage. I quoted 1 Corinthians 14. Listen to this one, Cheryl. In 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, it says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not or allow not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." And then, and that says a lot of the same things in, as we read in 1 Corinthians 14, Cheryl. But now it gives us a reason. It says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived... And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." And so, Cheryl, it doesn't say the reason the women are not to speak in the church is because the women are less educated than the men. It said the reason they're not there to keep silence and not usurp authority over the man, not to teach over the man, was because Adam was first formed, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You see how Paul... inspired of God goes all the way back to the beginning as the reason why women should not teach over the man. Do you see that, Cheryl?
Okay, so the difference would be teaching over the man or instead of. I mean, that could be dissected as well.
Well, in this passage it says the woman should not teach over the man, but the main point was is that the reason given was not because of a difference in error, ERA, or culture, or because the women were less educated than the men back then, but it was because that Adam was first formed and then Eve. And Adam was not the first one deceived of the transgression, but the woman was. Now, over in 1 Corinthians 14, it doesn't talk about women teaching over the man. It just said the woman is not to speak in the church. Now, the Bible says, Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, here we have a commandment. It's clear as day, and we have resistance. People don't want to accept the commandment of the Lord that women are not to speak in the church, they're not to teach over the men. And when they don't accept that, they're showing that they don't love God and they don't respect God like they ought to. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The commandment is they're not to speak in the church, yet what we have today is probably 70 to 80% of the churches, the congregations, trying to figure out a way to get around what God says. That's not loving God. That's not respecting God. Larry from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, Patrick, I think you probably touched on what I'm going to share with you here. The men are ignorant, too. Here's what's going on, I think. This looks like, according to Scripture, how I read it, is men are backing out of the picture. They're not stepping up and being the leaders of the church. They're letting the women do it. Now, I think that's probably where it all started. Now, I don't know for sure, but it's wrong. The men should be the leaders of the church. That's what Scripture says. Am I right there, Patrick, or not?
Yep. Yes, Larry, you're right. We've seen that in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. We see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. We also see it when we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus 1, Larry, when it's stating the qualifications for the elders. It says an elder must be the husband of one wife. A wife, not a wife, but a husband.
Yep.
So you're exactly right. The Bible clearly teaches leadership should be from the men. Thank you for your call, Larry.
Okay. Talk to you later. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Jason from Utah, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I was raised Mormon, and I never, ever liked it, ever. And through some seeking, I become an Adventist. But from what I understand, like with this, the women aren't supposed to teach in the church, I totally agree with that. They're not to be leaders. But what if they're instructed by their husband because their husband's too much of a wimp to stand up?
Jason, when you said Adventist, are you a Seventh-day Adventist?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, in this passage, and that's a good question you have, Jason, but I'm going back to 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches. It's not permitted unto them to speak. And then skipping down to verse 35, it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, when God commands anybody in the Bible, I know, Jason, but I'm going to answer your question. If God commands us not to do something, does the husband, because he's an authority figure in the family, does he have the right to allow another family member in his family to do that, even though God has said not to?
Not really, no.
Yeah, like the Bible teaches the wife, and I'm going to use an extreme here to make my point so everybody can understand. The Bible tells the wife, and the husband for that matter, but he tells the wife not to commit adultery. Would the wife have authority to commit adultery if the husband says it's okay?
No.
No, because God is the one.
I'm trying to find out.
God is the one that says for her not to commit adultery, and God is the one that said for her not to speak in the church. Do you see the parallel I'm making, Jason?
Right, that's what I'm saying. But
you're agreeing with me, Jason.
All through the Bible, what I'm also agreeing with is all through the Bible, there's been women that Christ or God or the Holy Spirit has used.
Yeah, but I know, but for example, Philip had four virgin daughters that prophesied, Acts 21, verse 9. Prophecy is just teaching the Bible. And so, and actually, like for example, in Titus chapter 2, the older women are commanded to teach the younger women. We're not opposed to the women teaching as long as they don't teach in the church assembly, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, as long as they don't teach over the man, 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, which mean like they don't lead a class of men. But we're not opposed to ladies teaching in ladies' Bible classes, for example.
Right, that's one thing I was going to bring up, so I'm glad you did.
Yep,
the early founders of the Adventist Church, Seventh-day Adventist Church,
uh-huh.
I know it comes from a bunch of different groups, like Baptist and Protestant, that was all formed into the Adventist Church. And like I said, I don't totally agree with any one religion. I'm a truth seeker. I chose to be an Adventist because I found more Bible truth, Bible based teaching than any other place I've been. Does that make
Jason? Sense? I understand what you're saying. It's good to be a truth seeker. Is there any chance we could talk offline maybe about the Sabbath and some things like that, perhaps over email or the phone?
What I want to point out, and I want to make people think as many as I can, Ellen White...
Hey, Jason, I'm going to have to let you go. Please send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. David from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Well, actually, I've got a two-part. First, I'd like to make a comment on the first caller, the lady. I think that is what is wrong with our society today. We keep wanting to adapt what we live today, how things are today. It's kind of like going back to our forefathers and what they wrote in the Declaration of Independence. They say things do not apply to what is happening in the world today. And I think if we would all get back to the simple truth of what was written in the Declaration and the Bible, it all is very relevant of what is happening today. I don't buy that we need to adjust the Bible to the world today. We need to adjust the world today to the Bible.
Good point, David. That's exactly right.
My question is out of Matthew, and I may say also, too, that I am a God-fearing, Jesus-loving individual, and I do have a lot of question of the world today and why things happen. But my question is, in the subject of divorce, it says that when you divorce a woman, she is now turned over or turning to adultery, and if you marry a woman who has been married before, you are now committing adultery. That I feel plays right into what the world is today in being a throwaway society for relationships, whatever the case may be. But on the other hand, when adultery has been committed against you and you divorce that person because of that reason, does that still stand if you marry another woman who happens to be married before?
In Matthew 19:9, David, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Now, that's the King James Version. The newer translations, instead of saying put away, David will say divorce. So, what that Jesus is obviously saying is that if you divorce your spouse for any reason other than fornication and you remarry, you commit adultery. And as you said, if you marry a put-away woman, a divorced woman, you commit adultery. But the implication is, it's necessarily implied, that if you divorced your wife because she's cheating on you, because she commits fornication, then you may remarry without committing adultery. You see that, David?
Okay, I understand that, but even though she's been married before, that's my question, I guess, now that you brought that up.
Well, now, if you divorce your wife for fornication, you have the right to remarry. But that doesn't mean you can marry anybody. You can't marry a person who has no right to marry. For example, if that person, if you're considering marrying a person that's already married, you can't marry that person. And if they've been divorced, let me finish. And if you're considering marrying somebody who's unscripturally divorced, then you can't marry them. You see? Because as you said, it says whoever marries her which is put away doth commit adultery. So even though you have a right to marry, she doesn't have a right. She still belongs to her first husband. As Romans 7:2-3 puts it, she's still obligated to him, bound to him. So you can remarry, but you can't marry somebody that's unscripturally divorced like that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Hey, David, yep. Why don't you send me an email, and we can talk about this further, but start by studying Matthew 19:9 and Romans 7:2-3.
Okay.
My email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com. Send me an email.
All right, brother. I sure will. Thank you much.
Thank you, David.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate those good calls. Well, We're about to run out of time, but let's go ahead and take this call from James in Texas.
Praise
go ahead, James.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air, James.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I was calling about the subject about women speaking out in the church, teaching.
All right.
I feel like a lot of women are being put up in the church to speak because the men are not doing what they're called to do. There has been a lot of falling away from the Word of God and from the Spirit of truth.
Well, James, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do two wrongs ever make a right?
Not at all.
So just because the men aren't doing their job, and I'll grant that in many cases they're not, but just because they're not doing their job like they ought to, that doesn't justify the women doing something that the Bible forbids, does it?
No, but if you go back to the book of Ruth, when the men fell away and was none found to where they was doing the righteousness and teaching the people, they put up Ruth, and Ruth had to go and speak out for the men.
James, I think you're a little mixed up there. Do you have a verse that says anything like that?
I don't have my Bible with me because I'm at work now.
I'm pretty sure there's nothing like that in the book of Ruth. But of course,
okay. What was that? Where the lady had to stand up for the men, had to speak out to the king for the men, not to preach in the church or anything, but to speak up for the men.
Now, James, we're not saying that a woman cannot talk to a man, but what we're saying is, look, my wife talks to me at home all the time. But what 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 is talking about. Let your women keep silence in the church. Verse 23 is saying, when therefore the whole church comes together into one place. So a woman can speak to a man outside the church at home, but when the church assembly is in session, we might call it, the woman is not to speak. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 says a woman not to teach nor usurp authority over the man.
Oh, that's true. Okay, I got you there.
James, you want to talk about this further over email afterwards?
Yes.
Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Send me an email.
I surely will. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your call.
Uh-huh.
We're about to have to go off the air, but let's just repeat a few things that the Bible says. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 says, let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection. But I suffer not or allow not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. So the reason given of why the women should not teach over the men, like lead a Bible study when their men are in attendance, goes all the way back to creation, not to something having to do with culture, anything like that. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, which we read earlier, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. Verse 35, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, the Bible is very, very clear in those two passages. This goes back to why there's so many interpretations of the Bible. A lot of churches allow women preachers. It's not because the Bible's hard to understand. These verses are very clear. It's because churches have bowed to political correctness. The world is telling them they better allow women to preach in the church, so they allow it. It's not because the Bible's hard to understand. It's not on this point. If we love God and we respect God, we will do what He says on this issue and every other issue. Be sure and listen next week at this same time.